You're listening to audio from Grace Community Church in Anger, North Carolina. More information about Grace Community Church can be found at graceccnc.org.
Thank you, Ricky. What a motivation to read through the Bible in a year. I hope you will consider doing that. You usually make a lot more of a big deal about it leading up to the year than I have this year, but Ricky said everything that needs to be said in that few minutes. So I know that some of you love to just dig into the Word, and in fact, someone in our home group said this year that, you know, reading through the Bible feels like it's easy to distract from digging in, and I understand that temptation. So make sure you don't let that go, but one of the advantages of reading through is that you begin to get a sense of how God works, what His ways are. And it's hard to explain unless you've been doing it for 10, 15 years, or it's hard for you to understand, I suppose I should say, because it was for me. In fact, I'm a slow learner. It took me even longer than that. But when you read through every year, you begin to understand the world a lot better because you understand how God is working in the world. And when you understand how God works in the world, you're better equipped to interact with people and witness to people. So just lots of things. We'll come back to this in the meal, or in the meal that we're going to have from here. We've had other sorts of meals this week, and so many of us, that's a really interesting thought. When's the last time you took a shower? I think you'd be able to tell when that was for most members of the family. Well, like Ricky said, I am so glad you're here on this Sunday. And by the way, thank you, DJ, and the worship team very much for leading us in those beautiful Christmas carols. I'm so glad that we're all here together on this Sunday between Christmas and New Year's Day. This morning, we're going to receive both instruction and challenges from the Word of God, but mostly today is a day to appreciate. Today is a day to appreciate the blessings that are ours in Christ. Our text is Isaiah 55, which was written some 700 years before Jesus was born. But if you think about where it's located in Isaiah, it's only two chapters out from Isaiah 53, and there's a flow from Isaiah 53 through 55. 53, the sacrifice that Jesus paid on the cross was prophesied in great detail in Isaiah 53. Not only the details about the crucifixion, but also the meaning behind Jesus' crucifixion. And then Isaiah 54 speaks of the beginning of God's blessings to His people, the corporate blessings to His people based on the suffering servant's sacrifice for sins. And then Isaiah 55 presents a gospel-saturated invitation both to the people as a whole and to individuals to partake of the Lord's blessings. This will be an abbreviated message because at the end, we're going to share the blessings that God has poured out on us this past year in a time of testimony. And I just want to encourage you, 1 Corinthians 14 talks about one prophet should speak, and then if another has something to say, that one should stop, and the second one should, and no more than three prophets. We're going to have more than three today. It's interesting. I was so interested a couple of years ago when we were going through 1 Corinthians to finally understand what the gift of prophecy is. More than anything else, it's the gift of encouragement. It's an encouraging word. Has nothing to do with Home on the Range, but it is an encouraging word, and it encourages other believers in the body to understand how God is working in their life. So this is going to be your opportunity to encourage the body. And in fact, as I was praying, Allison and I always pray for the service here. We pray for services in a lot of places on Sunday morning as we're coming. And I was just praying, Lord, as we hear from so many voices today, not only what God has done in your life, but what we need to know about God, the truth about Him, and how He works. And you're going to be part of sharing that, I am certain, in just a little while. Isaiah 55, I will be reading from the English Standard Version. Occasionally, they'll do a little update. What you'll see on the screen comes from Bible Gateway. And if there's a word that's different here and there, that's what the deal is. So it's our custom to stand as the word is read. If you would, please stand for the reading of God's word. Isaiah 55. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I will make him, David, the house of David, a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Just one word for those of you who might not be aware of this. Every time you see the word Lord in caps in the Old Testament, it references the name Yahweh, which was the covenant name that God used with his people. So whenever you see Lord, it's God, the Father, talking to his children, his people. Seek Yahweh while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The word of God for the people of God. Thank you and be seated. So in this very first word of Isaiah 55, we are greeted with a beautiful gospel invitation. Since Isaiah was speaking prophetically to those who would be captive some 150 years later in Babylon, food would have been an expensive and yet a necessary commodity. We know that Yahweh commended his people to eat at feasts and festivals several times during the year, and they were expected to eat well. Now, Baptists have this really down, this eating well part. At least if you grew up in the South, you really enjoy those gatherings where there's fried chicken and deviled eggs, all those good sorts of things. But the people of Israel understood what was being said, and the banquet to which they were being invited. And when Yahweh said, I will satisfy you with rich food, that was some kind of good food. And God was offering it for free. Now, the food that they ate at those festivals, that was part of their special tithes that they had set aside money for. They set aside money to go to the feast as God commanded them to. But now God was offering everything for free. Isaiah is often called the fifth gospel because of the gospel truth that's scattered throughout the prophecy. Believers have no doubt that Isaiah 53 is pointing to Jesus, the sacrificial death of the Lamb of God. There's also no doubt that Isaiah 55 is telling us that salvation cannot be earned, but it can be received. It is free. So the feast that Yahweh is offering is a kingdom feast. It must be received. How true this is of salvation. We cannot earn our place in heaven. All we can do is receive the bread of life that has been offered to us. Jesus paid the price for our sins, and we must recognize him as our Lord. And that's going to involve repenting of our sins or recognizing that we are sinners and asking for God's forgiveness. And it will also involve putting our trust that Jesus died for our sins. If you've been trying to be good enough for God to like you or to accept you, you can rejoice because your hope is found in Jesus and he has offered freely to you. Look, you've been together with a lot of family this week, and it's been a blessed time, I'm sure. And there have been moments that might not have been quite so blessed. And maybe you didn't feel like you had a place in the family. Jesus is always there waiting for you. If you have not received Jesus as your Savior, please don't leave this place this day without making sure that you belong to him by faith. Talk with me, anybody you've seen on the platform. Better yet, talk with the person who invited you to come today and say, what is this Jesus stuff about anyway? I mean, I thought if you were an American, it just sort of came with the territory. Well, it used to anyway. But talk with someone to make certain. Verse 2 reminds us of the foolishness of seeking meaning and fulfillment in our lives apart from Jesus. If you're not a Christian, if you've never trusted Christ, you should know that the Bible says this over and over. You will not find satisfaction anywhere in life unless you find it in Jesus. It's what the Bible says, but you have to believe it for it to mean anything. And you have to believe it before you fully understand it. That's one of the difficulties that people today are saying, if you'll show me you exist, God, I will believe you. And yet the Lord says, if you'll believe me, I'll show you it doesn't work the other way. So, for those who do not believe in Jesus, why do you seek purpose and peace apart from your Savior? Jesus said in John 6:27, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him, God the Father has set his seal. Then in John 6:35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst. Ever. Is Jesus speaking to believers or unbelievers in this verse? Well, the technical answer is unbelievers, but the fuller answer is yes, he's speaking to us all. Preach the gospel to yourself every day. Pursue the best. Pursue Jesus. Verses 3 and 4 remind us of two amazing truths. First, the covenant that God has graciously made with us is an everlasting covenant. You can't mess this up if you try, but don't try. You'll regret it terribly. Second, unworthy recipients of God's grace that we are, We have been blessed to be witnesses of this grace. We are leaders. Another way of saying this is that we have been blessed to be able to share with the world that doesn't know Jesus how to come to know him and how to have eternal life. We can share the truth to those who don't know about our King. Verse 5 tells us that not only will we go to the nations, but the nations will come to us. Live for the Lord, and you will be sought out by those who are seeking Jesus and don't yet know it. I don't know if you're aware of this, but the sales for Bibles, the Bible sales are up 22% this year. Now, you may not have been confronted with this, but something is going on spiritually in our country. You know, the big revival at Asbury a couple of years ago, which seemed to fizzle, it really hasn't fizzled. It's going on at Auburn and Florida State and Ohio State. Stuff happening on campuses. We need to be ready. Don't ever apologize for your belief in Jesus, and don't apologize for your worldview. People need to know, and people want to know. And God has put us in a position to tell, not arrogantly, but humbly, like they used to say, a beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. Verse 6 is a warning to not take the Lord's goodness to you for granted. Verse 6 could literally be read, seek Yahweh while he allows himself to be found. Call on him while he is near. What does that mean? I don't know exactly, but and I don't want to find out. The wicked one in verse 7 might be an unbeliever, but the original context suggests that this is one of God's people who had been taken by the ways of the world, had been enamored of the ways of the world, or had become enamored of the ways of the world, and really wanted to spend more time with this foot in the world than this foot in God's. And God says it doesn't work that way anyway. Can't live like that. Look, if you have walked away from the Lord, or you and you feel that he would not welcome you back, just know that God's arms are open for you, longing for you to return to him. I know how easy it is for us to think that God is in heaven just laying, don't do it, don't. Ah, you did it. No, I won't forgive you. Come back in a week. Prove that you're not. It doesn't work that way. It's this. He has compassion. He will abundantly pardon and forgive your sins. No matter how far you've strayed, turn back to the Lord. Verses 8 and 9 remind us that no matter how spiritually mature or how clever we think we are, God's thoughts and ways are higher than ours. If only we knew God's thoughts. People say, Lord, I need a word from you. What do you? We have God's thoughts right here. God's word not only gives us access to his thoughts and ways, but it accomplishes whatever it intends to do. If God speaks, it's done. You think in your house, if dad speaks or if mom speaks, whatever, it's done. When God speaks, it's really done. This is only one reason that we need to position ourselves in a place to receive God's word by reading through the scripture every day in a year. I doubt that many, well, first of all, let me just say, I know that many of you read through or at least got a pretty good ways through this year going through the Bible. A lot of you. I doubt seriously any one of you remembers everything you read. The beauty of going through it. Every single time I do it, which has been many years, I'm discovering something new every year. It's like, where's that from? I don't ever recall that verse. But it speaks to me in just a particular way for that particular point in time. Scripture is always that way. It's alive. It's always accomplishing God's purposes, which is why we need to put ourselves under the spigot. If you have not ever read all the way through the Bible before, should you choose to do so this year, 2025, my hope is and my guess is that you'll have a lot of company here at Grace. I usually recommend the one-year Bible plan in the New Living Translation. Now, it would not be the translation I would recommend for Bible study. If that were the case, that's the translation that we would use on Sunday mornings. But it is remarkably readable. The first time I ever read through the New Living Translation, when I got to Ruth, I wept. I mean, I just wept, and I don't usually. I'm not that emotional when reading Scripture. Occasionally it is. I get that way, but the same was, I mean, that was very true when I read in Ruth, and by the time I got to Acts, I just could not stop reading because it reads beautifully, like the beautiful story of God that it is. The readings in a one-year Bible are already mapped out for you. It doesn't work for some of you. Some of you just need to plow through, straight through. But for those of you who might get bogged down in Leviticus or Numbers, this is good for you because every day, Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, Proverbs. It'll take you about 15 minutes a day, so it is a big ask. I understand that. No, it's doable. But you need to be committed and you need to be consistent. My good friend Mike Calhoun always says, decisions don't change your life. Decisions only change your direction. Discipline changes your life. And if you've not been disciplined with spiritual disciplines, if you've not been committed to spiritual disciplines, reading through the Bible in a year is a good place to stop. I'll give a few more tips next Sunday, but this is a good time for you to make the commitment to read through the Bible this year. So let's prepare our hearts for our testimony time by reading one of the great doxologies in Scripture, which is both a present promise for our souls when Jesus rules in our hearts, and also a future promise for all believers when Jesus rules the earth after his return. Verses 12 and 13. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Amen. Amen. All right, time for you to preach. Who wants to be first, or who will be first? Nobody wants to be first, right? This day, I'm going to be comfortable with silence, I can just tell you.
And Brad says to describe blessings we've had this year, right? Well, we all have blessings. I mean, I think back to Christmas Day when all 12 of the McLaughlin clan was in the same house together. And we all loved each other. We didn't say one word about politics because some of us are confused about that.
Well, you want to elaborate?
But I was struck by how much our family loves each other. in spite of our differences at times. And another blessing, I'll ask this question. Being an old law professor, I like to ask questions rather than answer them. Have you had any difficulties this year? I have. My wife's had a hard time with her health, her knee primarily. And I had to take care of her. I've had to learn how to operate the washing machine and the dryer.
Tough times.
And I've gotten better at the microwave. But you know, Paul writes in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And as I read that, I'm blessed because I have a wife who loves me and is having health issues, and I have to take care of her. And it's a privilege. It's a blessing. And one other, I had a big blessing about 10 days ago. Miss Joy Acock came to my house and brought me a pecan pie. And she makes the best pecan pie of anybody. Thanks, Joy.
We had some pecan pie from Joy Acock, too. So if you want to be jealous or line up after the session, thank you, Jim. It's just a perspective, isn't it? What a tough year. Wife sick, this, that, or what a privilege. My family loves, we all love each other. I get to serve my wife, get to learn new things. How many minutes to put the microwave on, you know, don't overcook it.
All right, this is two elders. We need at least to equal non-elders to elders, so get ready. Good morning, everybody. Hope you had a Merry Christmas. The past 18 months have been the hardest of my life ever. No time and space for that this morning, but I just want to tell you what an encouragement so many of you have been throughout this very difficult and dark time in my life. The body at Grace is loving and caring. You have been tender and kind in your words, and I just want to say thank you. I also want to say that during these 18 months, how the Lord has worked through what I will call spiritual fathers for me. And so I want to use this opportunity to thank Brad and Jim and for being so kind in your time and your words and your encouragement, and to encourage you to pray for and seek after men, a spiritual father, women, a spiritual mother. I don't believe you're ever too old to have one or be one, or too young to have one or be one. So those relationships were significant these past 18 months for me, and I just want to encourage you in 2025 to pray that the Lord would provide you with that and to see exactly how he works through his people in those very special relationships to make such a significant impact on your life as an encouragement, as sanctification. And the other is, if you're going to read through the Bible in 2025 and you're married, I would encourage you and your spouse to follow the same plan because it allows for very good conversation. I love each of you. I'm so thankful for you. And now let's hear from somebody else.
Amen. Before you jump in, I want to just say to what Lee just said, I've learned this past year how important it is for those of us who have lived this life longer, more mature in the faith, to share what we know that you assume that the younger generation knows. They don't. If you are not in a mentoring relationship, you need to be. If you're younger, the primary responsibility is to you. All of my life at TVR here, the people that I mentor are the people that won't be denied. Those are the ones. It's not that I go around and I pick out this person and that person, but the people that just won't leave me alone. Those are the ones that I have been deeply privileged to mentor my entire life. So whether it's your profession, your family, especially though the church family, find somebody to pass on what you're doing, how you're serving. You may think, my role is not that significant. It's significant. And you need to be bouncing these ideas off of people and learning from people. Like Lee said, thank you, Lee, for sharing that. Both of you, Jim and Lee. All right, the elders are a hard act to follow, but some of the most profound things, some of the most encouraging things have been said in these services.
I'm clearly not an elder, so I think I fall into that category.
And I'm listening very well.
All right. So I just want to share a scripture that I believe is going to be my scripture for this coming year. And it's from Micah 7:7. It says, "But as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." And that just really resonated for me as I read it a few days ago. As I have been praying for many things this past year and waiting and waiting and waiting. And I know many of us are in that same boat where we've been asking the Lord for things for a time and God has not answered those in the way that we may have desired or in our timing. But I just want to encourage us to persevere in prayer and know that the Lord hears us and that He's the only one to look to. He's the only one to bring our cares and our concerns and our longings to, and His way is perfect. I think my way is perfect sometimes, but it's far from perfect. His is a way, way better plan. He does hear us, every cry, every prayer. It does not go unheard. And so persevere in praying as you enter this new year and join me in looking to the Lord and waiting for the God of our salvation. Our God will hear us.
Thank you. Beautiful words from a beautiful lady who happens to be my wife. We needed to hear every single thing Allison said just now. Everything.
So just wanted to share something that the Lord has been showing me this year. I have two tiny humans, so there's a lot of opportunity to be shown a lot of hard things, I guess. And this year I have been convicted a lot about repentance. As I mentioned, there's a lot for a mom to repent of when you have small humans showing you a lot of your sin because they bring that to the surface. And there's definitely nothing that has brought me closer to the Lord than cultivating that habit of being humble and apologizing not only to them, but to the Lord for the things that occur daily and nightly. And it's been a wonderful picture of our lack of strength and our need for the strength in the Lord to help us every moment of every day to shepherd and disciple and grow these wonderful lives. And so I just encourage others who may not have that habit to really do that daily and especially nightly to repent and to come to the Lord with all that's occurred during the day. And if you don't necessarily know where to start with that, I found a wonderful book called A Diary of Private Prayer by John Bailey, and it is a wonderful depiction of his repentance, his prayers in the morning, and his repentance at night. I warn you, it will make you feel awful. He really has an amazing hold on his own sin and his need for the Lord to change him from the core of his heart. And it will, he just has an amazing picture of humanity and his place in humanity. I think needing that repentance is something that's hard to do because we don't necessarily always know how to repent, or sometimes we can just say like, oh, I'm sorry, God, and then move on. But seeing that repentance is even more than that, and it will really deepen your relationship with your family and God and everyone around you. So I just wanted to give that encouragement.
Thank you, Emily. That was supposed to be in the sermon. That was much better said. Thank you. Thank you very much. This is truly what we do with one another. We share with one another. And John Bailey, by the way, is referenced by Andrew Peterson in his introduction to Every Moment Holy. It is a wonderful book. The prayers at night are more difficult than the prayers in the morning because that he's realized his sin all day long. And Allison put me onto that many years ago. It's a great book. He's an old timer.
So this year, in the back, sorry. This year, my wife and I welcomed a little one into our home, which I'm sure you guys have seen running around. And man, the Lord has just taught me this year the power of little yeses. And I've seen that in so many ways that are not my own, that are mostly my wife's, and through the people in this church. You know, we don't drift towards holiness. We drift away from it. And we have to be very intentional with our decisions and with our actions and with our words. So I've seen that through the body of grace and the body of Christ. I've seen that through the Pittmans and the Grumbachs helping us out constantly, through the council of the Eisenbergs, through the birds gifting so many things to us, not only their time, but also clothes and the tallies and their constant support and prayer. We have just seen it, an overflowing of support of these things that did not happen, have to happen from these people, but these little yeses that they have given to us and given to the Lord that is so edifying and very helpful for me to reflect and see what little yeses can I say as well. So I'm very thankful for all of you. Eric and I can't thank you enough.
Thank you very much, Kyle. You'll remember three more couples as soon as you sit down, but that's the way that goes. But thank you for doing that as a body. And I thought you were going to say yeses with as parents. I will say it enough. Parents, say yes every chance you get because of the struggle that it is to raise children. We want to say no, no. I mean, it's just reflex. Say yes. I shouldn't have said this on Family Month, should I? It's what Allison told me. Talk to her. And no, say yes every chance you get. And make the no's meaningful. So you'll appreciate the no's, those of you who are in your teenage years and younger. You'll appreciate those later.
Small damages, we're good.
The last time Lee came up to the, there was a wasp crawling up me in the summer. I was thinking, surely there's not a wasp in here. But someone else.
Hey, guys. In my life, this past year has just been a whole year of changes for me. And it seems like just a change every single month. one after the other, it's really caused me to really lean on God and lean on my community. And I'm just so grateful for the community that I've met here and got to make friends with here as well. Just moving to different church, different context, getting engaged, going to a different school, moving to Franklinton, and then driving back and forth between here and there. There's been a lot of things, but those things, while they've been challenging, they have been very good in my life. And those changes, I know, are because of God's faithfulness in my life. And the obedient walk that I've had in my own floundering, trying to figure out what God's doing, walking obediently toward Him and praying that He will continue to be faithful, and I know He will. But as I go on to the next year, I know there's going to be a lot more changes, and just prayers that I'll be ready for them, and even if not, that I'll be sustained through them.
What a great word. In my floundering, walking obediently toward the Lord. You may feel like you're stuck, but if your focus is on the Lord, you're exactly where you need to be. He's got this going on in your life for a reason. DJ's last official day as intern today. David was going to recognize him this morning. I'm sure he will later, so I'll save that for David. But thank you, DJ, for being here this year. We've loved having you and Olivia here.
Howdy. So this year we have lost our dog, and it has been very hard for not just me, but our whole family, because we've had him and we've grown such a good relationship with him. And after that loss, we have had such amazing friends and each other and the Lord to help carry us through these hard and enduring times of loss. And I've been so thankful each other for everyone that has helped us. So thank you, God.
Amen. What a great word. Thank you. Sad word, though.
It's on. In the back again, but my name's Josh, and I shared this at Thanksgiving, but I don't think we cannot share it enough, and that is how grateful I am to a home group and a church body. I was talking with somebody the other evening, a sister in Christ, and just talking with them about some of their challenges and just saying how it's been amazing to watch different people grow in Christ in the body of grace. I grew up in a Baptist church, and I grew up in a Baptist church where things are very different in how we conduct here. But this is my home. And God brought my wife and I here, and God has done many things through the grace of body, through the grace, the body of grace here, including the adoption of my daughter, and following us and helping us through that, and being with us through that, being with us and encouraging us when we've had to trust my daughter to the Lord, and still have to trust my daughter to the Lord for many things. In working with Kyler and the youth and watching you guys as youth, watching the Lord challenge you, watching Him grow you into men of God and women of God, and watching that and seeing that, and working with incredible deacons and elders and other leaders in the church, it's truly been a blessing. And I'm just amazed to see the way God continues to work year after year after year. To take our flaws, to take my flaws, to take my shortcomings, and despite those shortcomings, fulfill His will and His desire in the body of grace in His kingdom. So thankful for that.
Amen. God's faithfulness.
Good morning, everybody. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you haven't read the Bible through? It took me 60 years to get to a point where I read it through. And I grew up thinking that I had to do everything right, do everything good, or I wouldn't get to heaven. And the Bible is the answer, because you can't do good, you can't work your way into heaven, as Scripture says. You must put your faith in Jesus. Yeah. And so what I've learned from reading the Bible through is that God is your companion every day and every time you read it. It is the place where you'll get the best wisdom and the best advice that can be handed to you on this earth. And so read it through. I would encourage you, if you haven't, consult it, because the answers are there, and they're not here on this earth.
Wow, what a great way to end. It's like an inclusio. An inclusio in Scriptures, the first thought and the last thought form a paragraph. That's the sermon said in half a minute. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Charlie. Well, anyone else? Yes.
There we go. Now it's working. This isn't a testimony, but an announcement I meant to mention earlier. Charlie talking about reading the Bible through reminds me. The link I'm going to post later today will be on Church Center. Again, over 22 different varieties of plans you can pick from. If you're not on Church Center, go to our website. You can just click under the Connect tab and then select Church Center and just join the group Grace Community Church. Once you create an account, join the group Grace Community Church. And you'll see that later today. Over 20-something plans will be linked there for you to choose from. So, sorry, I just want to throw that in there.
And last year, there was a fairly sizable group of men and women that began reading through the Bible anyway. So there are groups for you to kind of bounce your ideas off. We may not have it the same way this year as we have in years gone by, but we will make it available for you to talk. And constantly in home group, I hear someone say, yeah, we were reading this week, and I was reading that this week, because we were reading the same plan, that one-year Bible. But like I said earlier, and Ricky has just stated, there are all different sorts of plans. Whatever fits your personality will be great. Well, why don't we pray?
We have one more.
Okay.
One more request of yours.
All right. Yeah. And Scott wants to say something too. You sure? Oh no, you're saying there. Okay.
I won't stand up because my legs are shaking already, and I get very emotional, so I apologize for that. I just want to thank the Lord for his faithfulness and his protection over my family, especially for the life of Andrew. So he was about to be run over by a truck, and the Lord just kept him safe by a couple of minutes, six feet, you know, from where he was. And I just see him. I know it was the Lord watching over him and just keeping him safe. So I just want to say that. And I'm sure that there are many ways in where the Lord has watched over not only him, but he has watched over every single one of you. And sometimes we see it and sometimes we don't. But he is so faithful, and he's just there for us and watching over us. So I just want to praise him for that. And also, I just want to say thank you for all the support towards the children's ministry and all your hard work and your love and faithfulness towards the Lord and our church community. I am very blessed and surrounded by a community that's very loving and supporting, that loves the Lord and loves each other. So I just want to say thank you.
Thank you, Diana. We are very blessed as well. Thank you. All right. Let's pray, and the worship team will come and lead us. Our Father, we are grateful beyond words. Everything that was said this morning was a testimony to your faithfulness, and it was a testimony to your faithfulness despite our lack of faithfulness. It's a beautiful gospel truth that you loved us despite our sins and that you sent Jesus to die for us. And Father, we pray that that reality, that understanding will encourage, lift up, inspire, and sometimes when it can only be sustained, then sustain us through the difficult times. Thank you for your kindness in so many ways. Thank you most of all for sending Jesus, whose name we exalt and in whose name we pray. Amen. If you would please stand.
Thank you for listening to audio from Grace Community Church, located in North Carolina. Feel free to make copies of this audio content to share with others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information about Grace Community Church, go to graceccnc.org.